He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Such a time. I want to have my face on the ground. I want to pray for my family. I want to pray for the nation. I want to call down heaven. I want to walk in the power and the anointing and the unction of God. God says, others may, you cannot. If you're my child, you have to come out from among them and be separate. Others can watch the garbage. You cannot. Others can think that way and act that way. You cannot as a child of God because you're holy and set apart.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship. Located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles.
Today's message on regaining lost ground is titled, Holiness. You are the temple of God, and is the seventh part from a sermon series from the book of 1 Corinthians called Answers for a Confused Church. Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians tells us that as believers, our bodies are not our own, but it belongs to God. Today, Pastor Shane expands on the importance of keeping ourselves holy, set apart unto the Lord, so that we may be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live our lives against fleshly temptations and fulfill the will of our Heavenly Father for our lives.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
Doing things in Jesus' name. Do you know people can do things in Jesus' name? The Jews who were going to cast out a demon from this man, they said, "We cast you out in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches." And the demon jumped on him and attacked him because Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? They said, "You have no spiritual authority over me. You're actually part of my father, the devil, because you don't know Christ." So see, many people say they know Jesus intellectually. They know about him intellectually, but they've never repented and believe there's not a heart change. And I will submit to you, that's probably the problem with the majority of the church in America. And then verse 16, it gets to the sermon. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So he's talking about motives and doing things for God. He said, you have the temple of God, the Spirit of God in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. In other words, he's saying, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You need to be holy. You need to be set apart for me. And I probably should give a brief, very brief lesson on the Holy Spirit and holiness. Here's a snapshot. As a believer in Jesus Christ, before you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is running alongside of you. He's convicting, he's drawing, and once you repent and believe, you're born again, the Holy Spirit resides now in you, in the believer. So the Holy Spirit wants to do things for God, obviously. It's the power of the presence of God in your life. That's why when you see people do mighty things for God, don't give them the praise. It's the Holy Spirit working in them. So once you have the Holy Spirit of God, you can quench and grieve the Spirit, or you can surrender to his influence. When we sin, when we do things we shouldn't do, when we don't build ourselves up spiritually, we quench and grieve the Spirit. But when we begin to obey God's word, pray and seek God and worship, we begin to be filled with the Spirit of God. So all holiness is it's a person being filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. So holiness, what do you think of when you think of that word? Some guy wearing a gown and a big hat and the most reverend so-and-so, holy. No, that's not holy. Holy is a person who's set apart for God. They're set out. They're different from the world. There's a difference there. They're different from other Christians even. Let me give you an analogy here. Ping pong balls. This is the majority of people. We look like the world. We act like the world. We love everything that the world loves. And God says, come out from among them and be separate. Be different. You bounce to a different beat here. You walk to a different pace. You have a different drummer. You know, there's difference there. You love the Lord. You love His law. You love His word. You've came out from among them. You live differently. You live differently. And people often say sometimes, Shane, why don't you watch all these movies and all these things? Because I want to live differently. I don't want them to pollute my mind and my understanding. I want to walk with God. I want the holiness and purity of God. So you come out from among them and be separate. You can't serve two masters. You'll either love the one and hate the other, be loyal to one and despise the other. And Paul would even say, the Old Testament would say, come out from among them and be separate. So there's a distinction. You look different. Now God says, now I can use you. Now you're going to go where I want you to go because you're holy and set apart. So it's not some weird, big theological word. It means your life is going to look different. You're going to make the hard choices. You're going to make the hard decisions. You're not going to go with the grain. You're going to go against the grain. And I often say, here's a good way to test it. Whatever the world's doing, you're probably going in this direction from what they watch, what they view. Look at all the movies out there. Now, the number one popular movie, even among Christians, Game of Thrones, nudity, violence, witchcraft, sorcery, magic, black, dark. Wow, I just love it. Why? What's wrong? Something's wrong in the heart. Light should never enjoy darkness. Now, if you've watched it, you're not going to hell. I'm not saying that. I've watched things I shouldn't have watched on Netflix. I'm halfway through. I'm like, what is this? This is such a waste of time. But see, that's the difference. Is there a gravitating toward darkness, the things of the world, and loving the things of the world? We've got 3 hours for Netflix and no time for God. We have no time for prayer. Prayer is boring. I hate reading the Bible. The Bible is boring. I love the things of the world. Then either you're not saved or you're quenching and grieving the Spirit of God. That's the only two options. And I did write an article, it's on ShaneEidelman.com if you want to look it up. Game of Thrones, what should a Christian stance be? The reason I wrote this, I'm not just coming against that movie, just any in general, because I remember one youth leader told me, he said, Shane, I don't worry about what I watch as long as my heart is right. Like, wow, that's pretty cool. Let me try that. No, it doesn't work. It does not work. I don't care what I watch as long as my heart is right. Plus, I can watch what everyone else is watching so I can relate to them as a pastor. Hogwash, baloney. That's just an excuse. That's all that is. Just an excuse. Because what you watch, what you view, what you listen to, where your heart goes, that's what you're filled with. So it absolutely affects your heart. That's why there's always a difference. Have you ever heard that before? Christians can't do this, they can't do that. No, it's because I don't want to. I want to be filled with God's power and God's presence. If I'm watching movies and all this nudity, you're lusting after someone who's not your spouse, then they're cussing, you find yourself cussing, and then you find all this darkness and this witchcraft and this sorcery and all this stuff. It's not building you up spiritually, I'll tell you that much. Now, I'm going to offend some people right now, but that's okay. I also wrote about Harry Potter a while back, and I got some emails, people, oh, you need to watch it before you critique it. Okay, so I made it 15 minutes. They're casting spells and this lady's levitating and some snake goes in her mouth. Like, how in the world is that benefiting for a child of God? How is that going to entertain me? Because I want to get up in the morning and I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to preach with boldness. I want to have my face on the ground. I want to pray for my family. I want to pray for the nation. I want to call down heaven. I want to walk in the power and the anointing and the unction of God. And that God says, others may, you cannot. If you're my child, you have to come out from among them and be separate. Others can watch the garbage. You cannot. Others can watch that. You cannot. Others can think that way and act that way. You cannot as a child of God because you're holy and set apart. That's biblical Christianity. Here's why. What you're filled with comes out. What you're filled with comes out. Do you ever listen to sermons, maybe online or different churches? I'm going to be careful here. Trust me, I'm going to get somewhere. And they're just as dead as a doornail. I can guarantee you many times that pastor has not been spending time with God. And that can happen to me just as quickly. So see, that's why I'm not taking the high road. I know that drift is there. You've got to fight for it. You've got to fight for your families. You've got to fight for your walk with the Lord. Dead preachers give out dead sermons. If their hearts aren't on flame and on fire for God, you won't be affected. This is why the majority of the church is impotent, powerless. Let's be honest for a minute. Do we read the New Testament and say, where is that? We think it's for them 2,000 years ago. Because I read about a church who could walk into a Lancaster or a Palmdale and cast out demons from homeless people. Paul and Peter did. You can't just do it on your own strength. You have to be filled with the Spirit of God. And you, who are you going to minister to? You're wanting to pray with somebody at Vaughn's Shopping Center or Costco and Walmart, and you want to pray for these people. Walmart needs evangelism. My goodness. Would you say, go in there. Just go, just walk up and down the aisles. Walk up and down the aisles saying, Lord, how can you use me? I guarantee you, he will use you in a powerful way. It's not meant to be funny, but it's... Look, and my point is, there's a dying world out there, and the church is impotent. We're powerless. We don't win people to the Lord. We don't pray for them. We barely make it on Sunday. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is being quenched and grieved. When the Holy Spirit is let loose, watch out. Lives will be changed. There's no way around it. God doesn't make mistakes. God's not bored. God doesn't almost get it. He guides a person who's willing to follow. It was said of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, I have encouraging words. A man told D.L. Moody, he said, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully surrendered to him. And D.L. Moody said, I aim to be that man. That should be the call of every Christian in this room. I aim to be that person. Yes, I have struggles. Yes, I might have this propensity or might have this struggle, but I'm giving all that to God. I'm surrendering my life. The reason most people don't is they think, oh, there's all the fun's over. All the fun's over. We got to throw out our movie collection. I can't keep making beer in the garage anymore. And there goes my marijuana stash. I got to give up my Xanax and my opiate addiction. And oh, this is, it's so much fun. Is it so much fun? I see a lot of misery. The United States of misery. Folks, we're dead. We are dying as a nation, dying as a church. The church needs to come alive and take authority. In all areas of life, with godly legislation, would you please run for office somewhere? Do something. We've got to be out there being the salt and the light. Oh, that's right. Jesus said, be salt and light, except in the area of politics. Let me note that. That's right. What am I thinking? Isn't that silly? I hear that every week. Shane, you need to be quiet about that stuff. Just preach the gospel. As they're slaughtering innocent children? As transgenders are reading to kindergarten students, I'm supposed to focus on the gospel only? The gospel penetrates all areas of life. The Equality Act that they want to silence the church that just passed in one body of legislation, to silence the God's word. Do you understand the magnitude of what's going on? People want to silence the messenger, silence the voice of truth, silence the Bible, unless it's politically correct. The gender-neutral, politically correct version coming out soon that doesn't offend. And all these people, they're so, we want to be tolerable. Come on, Shane, we need to be tolerable. You're not tolerable of me. What happened to tolerance? Here's what's interesting. There are two Greek words for the word temple. One is the location. The other is, think about this, the place where the very presence of God would reside. So you have the temple location, but then you have like the Holy of Holies in the temple, the Old Testament, where the priest would go in and make atonement for the sins of the people once a year. And he would go into that place. He would walk into the Holies of Holies, making sure he's holy, walking in there. The very presence of God would be in that place. Now in the New Testament, it says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Would that not change the way we live? What we allow into our homes? And God promised that his presence would be in the temple. God says, I will put my presence, I will put my power, I will put my protection and my anointing and my blessings in you as a believer. So that's why we said, let it rain. So many people say, oh God, let it rain, please. And I can imagine God saying, I will if you turn on the faucet. You turn on the water. I'm ready. I'm ready to pour down revival from heaven. I'm ready to awaken my people. If my people who are called by my name, if this room would humble themselves and pray and seek God's hand, seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, he will hear from heaven and what? Heal their land. I received an email a few weeks ago from a person who was just incredibly filled with the Spirit of God. She said this, I have a newfound hunger and thirst for God. I'm so hungry for him, so ready to worship, so desiring a revival, so focused on waiting on God, pressing in and doing whatever it takes to have more of him. It creates an atmosphere of expectation, anticipation. which is fertile ground for the Holy Spirit to step in and act. Have you ever came to church with the spirit of expectation? Think about this, baseball fans. If I said Mike Trout's going to be here at 5 a.m. signing autographs, LeBron James, we're going to pray for a better season, and he's going to be here, you would set three alarm clocks or sleep out front. But see, we should come to church, I believe, with that holy expectation. Not one song, 5 minutes of announcements, three songs, 30-minute message, one song, go home, see you next week. Repeat, repeat, and the church is dead. She's dead standing on her feet because she's not living on her knees. Al Whittinghill said that many years ago. So this closing point for unbelievers, if there's anyone in here that doesn't know Christ, I want to encourage you. Verse 17, it says this, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple is holy, which temple you are. Now we have this image of God, destroy me. Oh no, he's saying if there's a consistent pattern of defilement, if a person keeps rejecting God and defiling their body from sexual sin, gluttony, all, you know what it is, I don't need to list it. It's just a defilement, a rejection of God, a rejection of God. I'm defiling it. My body, God says there's a judgment coming. But what we're supposed to do is see the need for our Savior, read in Romans that the wages of sin is death, judgment, defilement, and say, Christ, I need you. Christ, I'm turning to you. Save me and set me free. And he took on the defilement of man. It was like he stepped, like you, have you ever opened a lid on a septic tank or a cesspool? Good, don't. But it'd be like you jumping into that, coming out and saying, now let me minister for the Lord. That's what Jesus came down. He came down. The Bible says he took on sinful flesh of man. He put on the sinful flesh of man and he came and he died for that sinful man. He took on the wrath of God and he took on the defilement of sinful man and he died on the cross. That's why you better not mock it. You have to embrace the cross to be saved. The Bible says, if you repent and believe, repent that you're defiled and lost without God. God will save you and set you free. And for the believer, I want to remind you that you can drift into sin, but not into holiness. Michael Kelly wrote this, our hearts are like a drifting boat. Everything might look calm on the surface. We might not be facing a major crisis, might not be under undue amounts of stress, might be secure in our health and career, no doubts, no pressing doubts or concerns, and yet there's always an undercurrent of sin in our hearts. Remember, I've told you, if you don't do anything, you'll drift from God. If you don't do anything, the natural propensity of human nature is to drift away from God. It takes active participation. It takes active participation. If you want what I'm talking about, if you want the fire of God, if you want the power of God in your life, it takes participation. Have you ever worked for anything worth having without working for it? No, of course not. Same thing when it comes to God's word. And I'm amazed in the church how we change things around. Oh, there might be people who don't believe coming. We have to be politically correct. We don't want to offend anybody. If you're having people over your house, do you redo all your furniture and your carpet just because they might not like it? Of course, why do we do that in God's house? In God's house, we should preach the truth of Christ and Christ crucified, preach the foundation of Jesus Christ, not run from it, but embrace it. That's how people are going to be radically changed. They hate the message initially, but then God will begin to convict and draw them. So here's what I'm leaving you with. It takes participation. Like the song we sometimes sing, yes, I will. Yes, I will worship you even when I don't feel like it. Yes, I will pray even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to open the word of God even when I don't feel like it. Let me tell you one of the hardest things I do all week, trying to have a family devotional with 5 kids. Sit down, pay attention. Stop doing it. Come on, come on, come on. Forget it. I've put that book down more times than I can count. So I'm not going to do this today because the enemy hates that. And some of those little saints might not be saints yet. And the devil works in that, doesn't he? He stirs up and you have to fight for it. And you say, God, I don't care what happens. I'm praying for my family. I'm getting up early. I'm turning off that garbage at night so I can get up early and focus on you and stand there in the presence of Almighty God and worship and pray for my family, pray for those at this church and pull down heaven. That's how you're going to change America. Matthew Henry said, whenever God intends to move in a significant way, he always, always, always puts people in front of the television for 3 hours. No, Matthew Henry lived 400 years ago. He didn't say that. Whenever God intends to move in a significant way, he always, always first sets the heart of his people to pray, sets the heart of his people to pray, to give them that burden and that desire. Without that, nothing will happen. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of church going through the motions. This isn't a social club. This is a church at the living God where life should be radically changed. And I love that song that Brandt sang, I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. Thank God for that line. You know how many people think God owes them? Jesus, you don't owe me anything. Thank you for saving me. If you give me nothing else but salvation, thank you. I fall down and I worship you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. If you say, I can't relate to that, let me pray with you next door, and I know why. It's either because you're not saved, or it's because you've quenched and grieved the Spirit of God to such a degree that the world is controlling your life. Your thought process, the way you live, what you worship, what you value, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, is this. This does not like worship. Remember I told you my story? Those lyrics would bother me 25 years ago. Give me a 12-pack of Coors Light and Hank Williams Jr., a country boy can't survive, I'll run a trout line, I'll skin a buck, you know. Country folk, you know what I'm talking about. I love the music that just glorifies sin. I love the hard music and the movies and just because that darkness, even though you're miserable, you're gravitated towards it. So if you want to feel that, God, I want to be caught up in your presence. I want to sit here at your feet. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. I want to become a worshiper. I want to encourage you to come pray with us in the prayer room. And in case you think that's humility, I'll be the first one. I'll have the prayer team pray with me because I want more of God. Because you know, you've seen those boats. Haven't you seen those boats on a lake? It's crystal clear. The lake's not moving, but that boat drifts. That boat will find its way to the shore within 20 minutes. What happened? The lake's, nothing's moving. There's no breeze. The undercurrent, it's moving, it's drifting. The sinful side of us, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no vacation time, wants us to drift from God. And you have to put down your stakes. You have to fight. And you say, Lord, I'm going to contend for my family. I'm going to contend for my marriage. I'm going to contend for my relationship with you. The enemy wants to destroy your walk with God. Have you ever, a powerless Christian doesn't do anything for God's kingdom. Have you seen the statistics I read? Were you here a few weeks ago? I don't have them written down, but it's like, 80% of Christians don't even witness. They haven't witnessed about Jesus, and they don't lead people to the Lord, and they don't really enjoy worship, and definitely don't read their Bible. And what in the world are they doing? We're looking just like the world. No wonder there's no power. And if that's you, if you're a believer, you're miserable. I guarantee you're miserable. Because to have the Spirit of God in you and it be quenched and grieved brings tremendous misery and depression. It's like you've just got out of a freezing cold lake and you're sitting in front of a fire, but it's been quenched. There's no heat, but I'm freezing to death. And I see the fire, I see it. I see that coal, but I'm freezing to death, miserable. That's a Christian without the flame and fire of the Holy Spirit.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. Please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not. Such a time as this, he's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.